Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm an addict. My name is Dave.
Hey, Dave.
And this is our last community presentation for the day. And we have three individuals with us from Naranon. Give us a presentation on Naranon. And that is Kathy Y. from Torrance, California. Robert P. from Bakersfield. And Victoria H. from San Diego. And so I'll now turn it over to them, and they'll do their presentation.
I'm Robert.
Hello.
And I'm a grateful member of Naranon. And I'm going to talk about my experience, strength, and hope. So I'm not representing Naranon, I'm just sharing from my own experience. I'll start by just talking a little bit about my qualification for Naranon. Just a very quick description of Naranon, because you're not familiar with it. And then get into a topic of some overlapping areas of service. So, I qualify for Naranon. I give you the history is, I had a girlfriend, she got arrested, and she got sentenced to 90 meetings in 90 days. I made sure she got to the meetings. I bought her books on recovery. I bought her CDs with speakers talking about their recovery. I did a fantastic job of working her program. She didn't get any better.
Why?
She escalated on up. She got sent to inpatient, and I finally found Naranon. And so I'm in Naranon for life. That's what I need to do. So we have reading sheets. There's an example of our reading sheets over there. We use these reading sheets in our meetings, but we also put them into a little book. So there's a reading called The Family. I'm going to read this one, and some words in here you're going to recognize are sick, okay? Enablers, obsessed. The Family. Addiction is a family disease. It affects the relationships of those close to the addict. Parents, spouse, siblings, children, longtime friends and employers. We who care the most suffer from the addict's erratic behavior. We try to control and are ashamed of the scenes caused. Soon begin to think we are to blame, assume the guilt, fears, and responsibilities of the addict. Thus, we become sick, too. It's painful to watch our loved ones slowly kill themselves with drugs. We see them deteriorate before our eyes and are powerless to stop them. If addicts are spouses, we may watch as our finances slip down the drain. If the addicts are our children, all the hopes and dreams we may have for them begin to fade. If the addicts are our parents, we may never have had a childhood because we assumed parental responsibilities at an early age. They cover up for the addicted siblings, friends, and employees. They blame them, may excuse their unacceptable behavior. We worry, we take on their responsibilities, we make excuses, we try to cover up for them. This is our anxiety, and as a result, we become enablers. The obsession of the family becomes apparent when we try to control the addict's using. We become detectives, search the premises, personal belongings for drugs, drug-related items. We become obsessed with where they are, what they're doing, how we might control their addiction. We want to believe the problem can solve itself, even though our gut feeling tells us it's not so. We want to believe the addict's promises. Common sense tells us there's something wrong. We become victims of denial. In our despair, we search for an answer. We come to Naranon because we are burdened with responsibilities and feel we are alone. Come here to change the behavior of the addicts, but soon find that our own thinking and attitudes must change if we are to have relief. Find people in Naranon who understand what we're going through and are ready to share their experience, strength, and hope to help us. In Naranon, we learn how to live one day at a time. We stop rejecting, learn how to deal with our feelings of fear, guilt, obsession, anxiety, and denial. We look at ourselves, put the energy where we have some power, for the choices in our own lives. Quick introduction to Naranon. Naranon is the program, the 12-step program for the friends and family. So I want to talk a little bit about places where we can overlap. We'll start with events. And then talk a little bit about workshops. When I was starting out with Naranon, I enjoyed going to NA speaker meetings. Because I would go there and I would hear hope. I'd hear people talking about their recovery. I still, when new people come in Narnon, I still try to direct them, go to an NA speaker meeting. Some of them have been dealing with addiction for years, and they've lost hope. They go to an NA meeting, and they hear that there is hope, there is recovery. That's a great place where we can share. Now, we have NA members come into Narnon meetings. Occasionally, a newcomer comes in. I'm not quite sure why. I think it's taking their focus off of their program. It's too much clutter of family and all these things. But I personally don't feel like they're ready for that. There's sponsors who send sponsees into Narnon meetings, run to their eighth step, and say, you don't talk to your family, go listen to their family stories. They're the same. I think there's an overlap here where we can benefit by going to each other's meetings at appropriate times. The example I have of the need for Narnon from the speaker meetings and working the program, my girlfriend at the time, I was taking her to an NA meeting. And we stopped by her mother's house. And her mother said, oh, don't go to that meeting. And her girlfriend said, Mom, this is important. This is my program. I've got to go to my meeting. And Mom turned to her and said, I liked you better when you did drugs. When you did drugs, you did what I told you to do. Mom needed a program. Mom never got a program. But this is the dynamic of the family. Family gets into Narnon. Family starts working their steps. They understand what the steps are about. They understand what working a program is about. They understand the respect someone in recovery deserves. Beyond speaker meetings, a little bit bigger things are like unity days, like one-day events. And Narnon, people in Narnon like to be able to go to those, if we're invited, and provide materials. We have examples of some outreach materials up here on the table. You're welcome to take copies of. And the outreach materials were there for friends and family so that they can understand what Narnon's about. We're there because sometimes NA members have become double winners. You've got your program, you're working hard, and now you've got son, daughter, wife, spouse, who's active again. You can benefit from Narnon. It's not the same. You working your program was like me trying to work my girlfriend's program. It doesn't help the person who's active. Narnon program helps. Narnon, my opinion, is we like to be everywhere. But we have a little problem with size. If you look at Narnon, I was on committee for several events recently. Our Southern California region of Narnon goes from Bakersfield to the Mexican border. We have a lot of NA regions in that space. You have a lot of big NA events in that space. Narnon, from Bakersfield to Mexican border, we have one annual convention. And we had 150 members showed up for that convention. And for us, that was almost a record. I was in Rancho Mirage a couple months ago. There were 2,500 members of NA at that. So it gives you an idea of the size difference between our organizations. But there are people in Narnon who will go to great lengths to carry the message. Would be glad to be there if they can get invited to an event. I'll share a little about some of the events I've been involved in. Bigger events. I was assisted with the Narnon side at the Anaheim Convention this last year, which is Southern California. I've been on the convention committee for 4 years now for Bakersfield, which is Central California. And then Burbank, I've been on a committee a couple of times now. That's a San Fernando area event. Rancho Mirage, I think that was Inland Empire, a committee there. And in San Diego, I got to come here this year. And Visalia, that's a mid-state event. And I was on the convention committee from Narnon for that. So I'll tell you what I've seen at those is, when possible, if Narnon can just set up a table We have literature. We have a lot more literature than this. This is what we brought today for outreach. And the literature is there for friends and family who come. They can understand something about our program. Literature is there for you to take home to friends and family. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that was like me taking meeting directories home to my girlfriend. She'd look at it and say, "That's nice." She wasn't ready. There's, if you'd like Naranon participation, I'll give you three ways I know of. I mean, we do have Naranon people who are trying to find events to get plugged into. But if you haven't heard from somebody in Naranon and you'd like to get someone from Naranon to cooperate, one way is to see if you have someone who's a friend and family member in NA already. For example, today, an NA member asked his wife, who is an Naranon member, to make a phone call, and I'm here. It's that connection. Also, Naranon, we do have websites. What I love with NA is, like, every event, you have these great websites, you got contact information. On Naranon, we're not quite there. We have some websites. And we went to an event just about a month ago, because someone went on one of our websites, sent us an email, and said, "Hey, we have this event. Can some Naranon people come on out and participate?" And we did. Third option is our World Service office. You can call the World Service number. It's listed in all of our outreach literature. And just say, "We're having an event. Do you think you can find someone from Naranon to come out and help us with this?" And they'll try. Now, once we can make connection, the next thing is we need to sort of figure out the ground rules. What's acceptable? How do we deal with cooperate but not affiliate, especially Seventh tradition? I'll give you three examples that I've seen. Three different regions have three different interpretations of where the boundaries are with the Seventh tradition. So one event I participated in, it goes to the hotel, books a whole suite of rooms, got too many rooms, but you get the package, you want the rooms or don't you want the rooms? So they have a room that they can't fill. They can't get enough speakers for. They then contacted Naranon and said, "Would you like to rent a room for a day?" And they both, that NA region and that Naranon region, felt like it was a business transaction. It's not donations. They're not violating Seventh tradition. In their interpretation, it was just a rental agreement to rent a room for a day. They were comfortable. I've been on a committee for several years now for another event. They're not comfortable with that. They look at it and say, "Okay, hotel, we want to book the rooms. Okay, you get all these rooms." Well, they can't fill all the rooms. So then they come to Naranon and say, "Can you fill a room for us and make it meetings that have some crossover so our members can come or our friends and family can go to those meetings? And then we provide a pool of speakers for them to fill that room." That's an approach. Another event I've been on for a while, they don't go that far. They say, "Okay, hotel, we want the rooms." They book all the rooms. They try to fill all the rooms, but they end up with some holes. This is last year. They said, 12 o'clock on Saturday, we don't have a speaker. 3 o'clock, there's this other room over here, and we don't have a speaker. Do you want them?" Well, we filled the 12 o'clock. We couldn't scramble fast enough to fill the 3 o'clock. That's another approach. So it depends on where your region is and how you feel about cooperation, affiliation. Where's the line on the Seventh tradition? So beyond events, things like Unity Day, conventions, there's also things like STEP workshops. I gave you a little information about how small Naranon is in comparison. We really need members to work the steps. And NA, you have a lot more STEP workshops than we do. So whenever possible, if you could invite Naranon members who participate, just work the steps. That helps us. Just one real quick example, and I've run out of time. A friend of mine had picked up her 7-year chip in Naranon, and her daughter had a little bit more than that in NA. They were speaking at an event, and they were talking a little history about some of the arguments they used to have, the big argument that got them both to go into recovery. And daughter turned to mom and said, "Mom, I was high at the time. Now, what's your excuse?" Mom had been in the program long enough to say, "I was insane." They had that argument. They both got into the program. Mom worked her steps, got her sponsor, been of service. Daughter as well. They both found recovery. So that's where I'm at on this, with sharing my experience, strength, and hope. Thank you.
My name is Catherine. Hi. Hi. Thank you for having us here. We're all really excited to be here. I guess I'll speak for myself, but it's a pleasure always to cooperate with NARNON and to work with the NARNON people and the NA people. I have experience on several levels, and I thought I would start off with my own personal experience. So this started about 8 years ago, and when my son, who had just turned 18, I realized that he was a meth addict, and I thought to myself, I'm the mom, I got this, I'm going to fix him right up. So that's what I tried to do, and I this is my perspective as a NARNON person. I would look at him, and I saw him using drugs in my house. I also had custody of my daughter, who was a minor at the time. And I saw it, and I would say, don't do that, and then he would promise me not to, but then again, he would. And I just doubled down on all my efforts, because I kept thinking, oh, maybe I said it in the wrong way. Let me just tell him in a different way, and then I'll get through to him. So this condition inside me escalated over time until I was kind of obsessed with him. I was really worried about whether he would survive or not. Like Robert was saying, I kind of became a detective. When he'd come into the house, I'd be looking in his eyes to see, can I tell if he's high? You know, should I look in his clothing? And by the way, let me keep telling him what to do, because I think I know what he should do. And I didn't know any better then. I thought that I was doing something good for him. I, in my mind, literally thought that I was helping him. I actually believed that I knew better than he did what he should do. And okay, I did that for about 3 years. And at the end of that time, I had to look at my family and realize my son was no better, and I was worse, and so was my daughter. And that's when I started realizing that I had a problem, and that I needed to change something in myself, and that it was my behavior was literally either making things worse or preventing the family from healing. But I was stuck in this cycle, and I had no other answers. I didn't have any other ways to behave. You know, I kept thinking, I'm the mom, it's my job to do this. So that's when I came to NARNON. And NARNON, as Robert has said, NARNON is for anyone who's affected by someone else's addiction, literally. So anyone who's affected by someone else's addiction. And I started going to the NARNON meetings. You guys probably know, we have this similar, pretty much the same steps, traditions, and concepts that they do in NA, except we say that we're powerless over the addict. So we're powerless over a person. And our obsession, like my obsession was, I was trying to change my son. I thought, I'll fix him. I'll change him. You know, it's my job to do that. I can do it. And all of that is not true, but I thought that it was. So NARNON is where I first started to learn that I can't do that. I do not have that kind of power over another person. And also, as I went on in my NARNON program, I had to come to realize that my behaviors had interfered with my son getting his recovery. Because when he would behave in a chaotic manner, I would just react. And so I'd react, he'd react, I'd react, and it was a chaotic situation. That was a distraction for everybody. So in NARNON, what happened with me is it helped me to calm down. We say that in NARNON, we learn to better understand our loved ones. And that's what happened. I learned that it's an illness. You know, it's not anyone's fault. I thought it was my fault. Oh, maybe I parented him wrong or something. So I learned that, no, it's not my fault. It's really no one's fault. And it's just that it's an illness that he has. And I learned that he is a responsible party for taking action to get better. And I needed to focus on taking action to improve my own self, and that that's all that I could do. So, and he then did end up going to NA. He's still not in a stable recovery, but you know, it's better. And that's another thing that I learned. I'm not the person that gets to judge his program. You know, I can't sit there and say, oh yeah, no, he's not recovering, because I'm not him. I don't know how it feels to be him. I don't know all, I'm not walking in his shoes, so I don't know all the struggles that he's had. And my program in Nar-Anon has really helped to tremendously increase my respect for my son. Because now I look at him and I feel like he's like my hero, because I think about how hard it is for him. I get it. I get how hard it is. And that I can't cure him, but I can step back, you know, like I can stop reacting. I can treat him with respect. You know, I can love him and pray for him. I can listen without, you know, trying to tell him what to do. So I'm grateful to Nar-Anon, also to NA, but being in Nar-Anon also enables me to speak the same language. So when he does go to his meetings and he'll tell me, oh, Mom, you know, I have a sponsor. I know what that means, because I have a sponsor too. Or if he's working on a particular step, you know, I can speak that same language. And if I didn't go to Nar-Anon, it would probably sound like a foreign language to me. Like, what do you mean sponsor? I mean, I don't know how people would really fully understand it, the family members, if they weren't also in recovery. So I guess in a just example of my life, that's how the cooperation between the programs has helped, and the fact that I'm going to Nar-Anon has helped me to get a lot of respect and stand back for my son and not be in his way. At a certain point in my program, I became the GSR for my group. I'll talk a little bit about my service now, because I know it's a service conference. And then I was invited to a regional meeting, and that's when I started to participate in the regional service structure. So again, then I had more chance to cooperate with NA. And I've been doing outreach for the past few years in the region, and one of the main things that we love to do, actually, is to participate with NA at the NA conventions. So if there's a convention in our area, we'll make contact with the person in the NA committee, and then we like to have an information table and just be available to talk to people about information. So that's one of my favorite things to do, actually. And it's good, because I didn't know what to expect, but I remember going to the first convention of NA, and I felt a lot of warmth and gratitude from, you know, the NA members. People would stop by the table and say, oh, thanks, you know, my mom could go, or, you know, my wife went, it saved our marriage, something like that. So it's a great thing to be able to do. So that is part of the outreach. Another thing, then I also work on the website, and we just have a new website now for the region, and we don't have that much on for NA, but if there's a possibility to cooperate there, we'd be happy to do that. And also, about 5 months ago, I started working part-time at the World Service Office for Nar-Anon, so I've been learning a few more things about how the fellowships cooperate there, too. One of the main things that I do is answer the phone. This will tell you how small our fellowship is, because there's just four people or five people in our office, and I'm the main one. If you call, it's probably going to be me saying, Nar-Anon family groups. So if you want to, that's fine. I'd be happy to say hello. And I refer people to NA a lot. I talk about NA a lot in the course of conversations with people that call. And I'm glad that I understand that I can encourage them to say, no, your loved one, they have their own program, and that's where they will get their recovery. It's called NA, and I give out the number a lot, and this program is for the family member, so we can better understand our loved ones, you know, and learn how to make good decisions. And it's really, when that happens, I feel like that's the best chance for family healing. I remember my sponsor telling me, one thing good about me being in my program in Nar-Anon, that when my son does come along in his recovery, then I'll be in a better position to rebuild the relationship, you know, with him. And so, that's so valuable to me. That's something I look forward to doing. Also, I know that the two fellowships have been cooperating for a long time, even starting from when Naranon was founded in the late 60s and early 70s, that we got permission to, from NA to use some of the information. We have the same principles, the steps, traditions, and concepts. A little bit different. We say we're powerless over the addict. And, I mean, there's three of our traditions that mention to us in Naranon how we are to cooperate with NA. We are to respect the anonymity of all NA members, you know, and each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other Naranon family groups or NA as a whole. So we have three traditions that specifically guide us to an approach of respect and cooperation with NA. So let's see if I have anything else. I was talking about the purpose of Naranon is to help anyone affected by someone else's addiction. And one thing I noticed too is that I have friends who are in NA. One friend I have is a long time, more than 15 years sober, in recovery in NA. And then she recently started coming to Naranon. And so I thought, oh, but you have a sponsor, you have a program, why would you come to Naranon too? And the answer was that she had still family members who were out using, and that it was a different type of a thing to cope with that, I guess. I haven't been on the NA side of the fence. I know what it is to be paralyzed with worry over someone's use of drugs, but anyway, so I just put that out too, that anybody, you can be an NA member, you can be not. It's also, I guess, helpful sometimes for NA members to come and participate with Naranon if you're still concerned. So, well, anyway, thank you very much. I don't think I have anything else for right now, but I look forward to any questions that you might have later on. Thank you.
Timing device. My name is Victoria, and I'm the local bird, and I'm also, experience-wise, I'm the baby. I'm coming up, actually I'm about 10 months in now with Naranon, so I can speak a little bit about my personal experiences. And I kind of married into the fellowship, because those of you who know my husband know he knows he has a lot of recovery under his belt. So he is very, very diligent about keeping that recovery. So in some respects, I don't worry as much about that. I have other things to worry about right now. And it's been interesting because he invited me to come to meetings. And I said, sure, I'll come to you with the meetings. And there was always this kind of feeling of being sitting in the corner while everybody else shared. It's like, well, this is nice, but I didn't really feel like I was being heard. And then January of this year, we found Naranon. It was like, found people who understand. I found people who were like, we're not perhaps not exactly in the same boat, but we're all running along the same river. So, and it was good to actually be able to sit and share and talk and hear other people talk and listen and be able to say, I know what you're talking about. I feel you. So it helps me working in Naranon and working a set of steps is helping me to understand my husband's recovery that much better. And seeing him in service helps me to understand that much better what it means to be of service. And I have been offered a GSR position. And I was saying until after this is over, once everything is kind of settled a little bit, I'm going to be happy to accept that GSR position. So that will be my first steps into service as well. The big thing for me in Naranon is feeling that I have a place where I can be myself and be me and be with other people. But what was interesting was when I was first introduced to the concept, not too terribly long ago. In fact, last year in Vegas, in Western Service Learning Days in Vegas, on my husband along as usual, I saw the Naranon concept. I'm like, oh, this is excellent. And then the immediate next thought was, my bestie would so appreciate this. I have a very good friend of mine whose son is also an addict. And it's like, the fact that I was able to immediately jump and say, this would be perfect for her, and say, it would be good for me too. I had to remember that. It would be good for me too. So that's where I come from. And I know I've got way more time. I budgeted myself way more time than I thought I was going to use, but I think I'm going to go ahead and step aside and open up the forum for questions if anybody has any. There you are.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Mac.
Hi.
I happen to be a huge proponent for Naranon. If anybody's ever had a chance to look at IP27, it's called For the Parents or Guardians of No People in MA. The last paragraph in here, it mentions, under support for families, it mentions Naranon and other options down the road. But, so whenever I speak about cooperative effort with Naranon and Narcotics Anonymous, and everybody starts to look at me like, you're violating the traditions. I whip out IP27 on them. And my personal experience with Naranon, when I first got clean, my wife at the time, like, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, are you going to meet me? And it was pointed out to her, and I'm forever grateful, that maybe you ought to go to Naranon and work on yourself. And that made a huge difference. My recovery, when she was off my case, and focused on herself. And eventually, through getting into a fellowship, they were able to then realize that perhaps she just had an addiction problem of her own. A long time ago, when I worked with phones, and I don't want to hog it up, but I'll share this story and wrap it up. When I worked with phones up here a long time ago, there was three major categories of calls that we would handle. First one was meeting information. Second one was if there was an activity for the weekend, where's the activity and how do I get there? And third was friends and family members, what can I do? And Mark put you on the spot, though. Okay. So again, I'm going to say I am a big proponent of Naranon, and we used to, at our regional conventions, used to actually allow, I'll say I'll, but afford Naranon the opportunity to attend by letting them have some space. And for some reason along the way, that relation got severed, and I think we did a terrible disservice to friends and families and addicts and members who were trying to seek recovery.
Mark Haddock, San Diego.
Mark.
To follow up on the phone line stuff, when I first started working with phone lines here in San Diego about 5 years ago, there was a little sign on the board that said, for friends and family, we give out the Naranon number. Now, apparently the history of that, I don't know how it came about, but apparently there was a big battle within Narcotics Anonymous locally about whether we're endorsing or not, and you know, I don't want to get into the politics of that. The bottom line is, when I got there, we were actually giving out the local Naranon number. And I actually sat in front of Robert earlier today, and we had a little conversation, and I said, the local number is no longer in existence. What do we do? You know, when it went to this number is no longer in service, we as a committee, the phone line committee here in San Diego, we stopped giving out that number because it wasn't any good, and we didn't think that it was appropriate to give a national number. And Robert informed me that he thinks it would be. Just as an action step, I will definitely bring it up to the committee meeting next month as something going forward that we could look at. But I guess I'm curious from anybody if you have any thoughts on this. One number that we do give out, if we get the friends and family kind of call now, is 211, which is a community service referral number that's been approved by the fellowship to give that number out. And like for people who call on treatment, that's another one we get. I need to go to treatment. What can you do for me? Nothing. We can give you meeting information, or I can give you this 211 number and they can refer you because we don't want to endorse anything else. So my question is, do you work with local 211 services to make sure that they have your number and know when it's appropriate to give it out?
I mean, we do. I work in the World Service Office part-time, and first of all, I would say I would agree with what Robert said, that that's the best number to give out. Our fellowship is very small, and that means that we can't have volunteer staffing of phone lines in the areas and regions the way other fellowships can. The World Service Office phone lines is staffed during business hours, and so reliable staffing. Special service workers that are contracted to see that. So I would definitely always get that out. We have a database of all the NARNOM meetings, and that's searchable. I can find people, we can find a meeting for anyone anywhere in the U.S. or Canada just by looking in the computer. And we can, you know, give out contact number if there's a public contact for that meeting. And a lot of times people appreciate that. So I would agree, definitely, to do that. And thank you. We get a lot of referrals from NA. And we sent did MA number out every day with many, many times. Thank you.
Hi, Dave. I'm Maddox in Las Vegas.
Hi,
in Las Vegas, we have a really good relationship. We're really PR really focused on and committed to watching that fellowship grow. Not too many endorsements, but we keep an eye on those. When we have tables, we usually get them free and make sure that NARNOM gets the table for free as well, and we'll do a phone call to come out. It's really a good situation because so often you have community and it is about their son, and it is about their daughter or their husband, and the question always is, well, what are you doing for yourself? You don't have any power over what's going on. So it's always nice to have that reference and just go over there. On the phone line, to avoid that conditions violation, we also get out the phone number to Alamo. So that people are able to have that choice to never mind, which it does mess up. And we have referrals that we give out too. We always make sure that the things that we're giving out, 2 to 3 to 4 different phone numbers, so it's not
So you guys can give, because people call, a lot of times I think they think they're calling NA, but they're really calling us. They're asking for, do you guys get out referrals for that, for treatment centers?
Yeah, but we don't do just one. Yeah. If they want treatment, we'll give them a handful of them, and then they need to do the footwork.
Okay.
But we do that, and we've not had any contract structure condition violations or anything like that. And so the whole idea is to help these people and to stand by unanimity of Narcotics Anonymous doesn't really make it either, because they're not really who you are.
Yeah. That's awesome. I noticed too sometimes people call in from various parts of the country stating that they are in NA and there's NA meetings in this particular wherever location is, but there's no NARNOM. And they're just like flooded with galleries with all the family members that are there.
I heard a couple of things. I do want to speak up. I mean, this tradition's problem is a common problem in the fellowship. And we're subcommittees. We have to address this issue. You know, I can't think of anything that's more not outside than our families. You know, it's not an outside enterprise to reach your heart here, you know, or your child, or your... It worked for me as a member of NA to reach my hand across to your... there's that, and the purpose of the tradition, the question is the way diverting us from our primary purpose, to me the same way affiliation with NARNOM on any level would own primary purpose, because we're using the addict actually to the recovery. But on that note, I would not suggest any spouse or family member who tell their non-addicted family member that maybe they shouldn't have been.
It doesn't go over too well, huh?
I don't know. It doesn't work either.
Bob Addington, I'm here in San Diego. I have a nephew, and since he was 16, he was a falling down drunk. I don't know how to have him graduate high school, but over the years, since I got clean, last 20 plus years, I've had many, many numerous conversations with him, telling him what the program has offered me and sharing my experience with him. But he's just not ready. I don't know if he's ever going to be ready. And the thing is, I've watched my sister's attempts at fixing him destroy her life.
Yeah.
And I believe that's complicated because she's a retired ex-cop. And so she wants to exert her authority and control the situation and take over. And all it's done is just separate the two. And it's a constant, daily, nonstop battle between them. And it's horrible to sit on the sidelines and see this happen. And I've talked to her as many times as I've talked to my nephew, and I've suggested Narnon, but I get nowhere. And I say, you know, forget, if you hear the word addiction, just substitute disease. He's sick.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you can cure by a more strenuous, parental involvement. And I get nowhere. But is there, do you have literature that maybe just give her? Because I'm ready to wash my hands.
I understand. Here's what I would share with you, and I feel for her and I feel for you because, this is what I went through too. And mm-hmm. it becomes reading just as much as, and I am not an addict, but I've heard it said that if you're an addict, you're obsessing over the drug. Well, we obsess too, but it's over the person. Mm-hmm. We can't get the person out of our mind. We think about it 24/7. How can I fix them? How can I cure them? They're doing the wrong thing. Oh, they didn't go to their meeting. It's just like we're suffering too at that point. We lose our sanity. And like you said, I feel like it's also destructive to our health. People get anxiety, they get depression just because of this. They're trying to control another person, which can't be done. I've heard that. So what I think is that if even one person goes into recovery, and I tell this to people who call her like kind of clean newcomers, if one person in the family starts into recovery, it's going to have over time a beneficial effect on the family system. Because if just the wife goes to the husband, or if you're part of your family too, you could go to Narnon too. You qualify because you're affected by someone else's addiction. Now, with the worry and the concern, this is what happens to us. The person who starts to go to Narnon recovery is going to start to calm down. And they're going to stop being reactive. That reaction that you get. They lie again. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No, they lie. They crashed my car again. And they stole my money or whatever. Fill in the blank. So this, on our side, we think, oh, yeah, I got that. I'm going to fix that right up. It's not going to work. But if we start to go, we calm down. And I noticed that in my family. I was the only one that went, but my son stopped being able to pick a fight with me because I wouldn't fight that. After I learned things from Narnon, and I realized, oh, it's not personal. He's just trying to pick a fight with me so he can have a resentment, and because his illness is being on resentment, I was like, fine. So he told me to get that kind of a, I love him. I want him in my life always, but I was able to not fight back. And to not react. Like you were saying, he had more space around him to think about what's going on. To hopefully relax him. So my suggestion would be that, even if your relative, your relative that has the illness of addiction, and the other relative that has the illness of codependency, think that they're not in recovery, if they're going to notice you calming down, and then that you have more understanding and that you're non-reactive and that. And we just hope that could then help them to think, oh, wow, he's handling everything so well now. What happened? What's he doing? That's one thought I have to do. It's my go for
you.
Thank you.
I'm Bill, I'm an addict. I'm from the Contra Costa, Northern California area. I'm chair of PR, so we handle phone lines.
my background's a bit different. I'm an addict in NA, but I was started off, even though I was an addict in Iowa, I was starting off families of five, everybody addict in my family, and I spent a lot of my time fighting my youngest son. For the exact same reason that you brought up, Captain Sadler, the same thing. But I didn't know anything about Narnia, but I'd heard of Al-Anon, so I went to Al-Anon. And about a year in Al-Anon, my same thing is that I started to learn that I can't control anything, anybody around me, and I finally got to the point where I was able to let go of my son and accept the fact that he's probably going to die if he stays on the same path, but there's nothing I can do about it. And when I let go of him, he got picked up by some people in NA, and he's been clean now for over 5 years. Everybody in our family, 4 out of 5, all got clean for various different reasons. But what I want to say is in our fellowship in the Contra Costa area on phone lines, we give out these cards to everybody that goes to our phone line training. So we made up these cards, and it's got a list of phone numbers on the back, which is the Contra Costa Crisis Center, Narnon is on here, AA, Al-Anon, Suicide Hotline. So this card goes to everybody that takes our phone line training. I'm really passionate about getting those calls from parents who are trying to figure out how to get kids. I don't have an answer for them. I don't want to give my story out on the phone with them because it's not really, it's really appropriate. But what I do is I refer them to Narnon and say, well, I can understand where you're coming from. I did go through an experience like that, but you should call the Narnon, the local Narnon group, and talk with them because they would probably be better to help you on how to work through this situation. So I'm not telling them that they need to go get their own recovery.
Exactly.
I'm just letting them know, go talk to these people. They know more about dealing with people in families that have addiction problems. So this is what we get out to everybody in our group, and you know, we put all the hotline numbers. We just recently had, this is an old one, so I hand wrote on there, but we recently just added the 211 number. But we've checked every number just recently and verified that we have all the right numbers, and that's how we do it. And we stress that in our training on phone lines, is that, you know, we're not, our position is not to refer anybody to any particular organization. We just give out informational numbers and it's up to them to search it out. But through kind of roundabout way, I've had word from parents that have actually called that I had spoken to on the phone. Eventually I hear word come back that they're now working a program in Narnon, that they called the Narnon number and they went to a meeting to go talk to them to find out from them how they can learn to fix their kids, and they're now working their own program. I recommend, I mean, this is what we do that we can't help everybody in our group.
Thank you so much. I agree with you and what you said. I mean, I would always love to. Of course, I will ask. There's a part of me that wants to tell everyone what to do. Oh, well, I'm in recovery too. But I know what you mean because I talk to people that call, I would call them like free newcomers because they haven't been to a Narnon meeting yet, but they are where I was 7 years ago. They're just beside themselves. They're completely desperate. They're like paralyzed with fear. And they're so frustrated because no one will tell them how to fix their habits, and they're just like angry. And what I find is, I tell them, if, you know, just try coming to a meeting because everyone will understand you. And then you're almost human going, you know, like what? Yeah, because it's horrible. You know, you call 211, and I'm not criticizing any particular thing, but I think the one thing that we can help people with is. We get it. You come to meetings, we all have the same issues. No one's going to tell you what to do. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to say, you need to kick them out, or, oh, yeah, I need to help. No, we don't tell anyone what to do. We respect that. It's an individual decision. We know we all love our families, and we're not leaving them. That's why we're in our house. And you can just be understood. I think they're so isolated by that time. They've tried talking to their neighbors. They've tried talking to their parents. No one gets it. They don't like what people are saying. They're isolated and depressed. So I'm not going to tell them, you need the program. I'm going to say, just come. Well, no one can tell you what to do. They'll be respected and understood. Like you said, you're supposed to know.
Does it matter? Thank God I'm an addict. Question I have is, I'm for SPG&A, Modesto area, I'm our H&I chairperson. I have recovery houses asking for information on how to help the parents, the addict, or the other. And also, do I give them that 211 number, or do I go to a website, or what do I do to try to get some information from these recovery places that are friendly?
Because the full service number, and because that, like I said, that number is reliable. It's staffed every day during business hours. And then if people leave a message, we call back right away the next morning. We call every person back who leaves a message. And they, we can say, oh, what is your area? And then what we do in the home services, we'll say, oh, you're in Bakersfield, you know, I'm going to give you, you know, Robert's phone number. Or you're in San Diego, I'm going to connect you with, you know, okay. We have love where the regions are and the area.
Of our 211 services, have never heard of R&R. It's very sporadic.
Just to follow up, so you're not, as Narnon is not advocating to the 211 numbers.
We wish we could. It takes a lot of local effort to get into the 211 system.
Some fun when I would have it, or some don't, but that once they can just call our number.
So a lot of the 211 numbers don't know about R&R. Our World Service phone number is what we recommend. I wish that we were plugged into all the 211s, but really, it's going to take somebody locally to contact with that 211 service and say, please add us. We have to go through and explain to them, what are you?
Sometimes they have restrictions that are not compatible with our divisions.
Well, you know how, like on our phone line, when we need a speaking person, you know, have like all the numbers that sense, it would not make sense to have, I don't have to talk to mine, it might make sense to have an Aragon person on the phone list, and we just roll it over when it's due.
We went through in Southern California. In Southern California, we had an 800 number, and we did this. Where you could get nobody, absolutely nobody, who would volunteer to provide any coverage. We felt at that point it was better to not have a number that people would call and not get an answer.
I don't know much about Narnon, but my grandmother has some experience in Al-Anon. But I also, you know, I want to keep the issue from getting an answer from my family, you know, and it's not like I don't trust their opinion. I just, you know, rather than. So me and my significant other, my son's mom, used, you know, drugs together early on, and she got pregnant for the pregnancy. You know, I didn't really, she kind of took a slow down a little bit. You know, we had a son together, and we picked up right where we left off, you know. And my family is exposed to recovery in that sense. And hers is like, you know, like an Italian, half Italian, half Mexican family, like kind of like, you know, you don't talk about your problems. So it's one of those ones where the problem just gets worse and worse. And I've got clean, you know, and I got 18 months now, you know, and obviously, I don't think her addiction is where it quite was when I was using with her, but I know she still probably tampers with it. But yet I don't, because I don't see physical evidence, so I jump to conclusions, you know, and I don't really know what boundaries to set. And then, you know, all this spirituality, and I've worked as many steps as I can in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, but when a situation so up close and personal, you'll lose your spirituality, you know, you'll act out on character defects, you know, and you'll start being hard on yourself instead of just taking a deep breath and not jumping to judge. So there's so it's very, very close to home, you know. I understand the kids and everything, you know, but what's your parents to a young child? So I'm sure, you know, I probably should get some Narnon. I should probably go to a meeting and get a little bit of opinion so I stop judging and I kind of just lay back, right? I mean, today we're getting along great. You know, but there's some times where it's chaotic, and once it gets chaotic, I instantly jump to the conclusion that she's been using drugs recently, you know, and that's why she's bad, you know, and but that's, you know, me jumping to a conclusion. If I sat back a little bit and got some knowledge from you guys, I'm sure I would deal with it differently.
That's the kind of what we learned, and the pattern you described is the pattern that I had. It's because we love, this is our loved one. It's your spouse or it's your son. We care so much. We do anything to help them. I mean, everything we try to work. Yeah, and then they're like, are they alive? Do they lie to me? And so if you're affected by someone else's addiction, you'll be welcome in harmony.
I've got 30 years clean, and I had early on in my recovery by cook also. So I went and took some cooking workshops, also Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Codependent Workshop. And I got married, so I went to NAR, took about 2 years in my meetings, and I found it to be exceptionally helpful because not only as an addict, but dealing with a person who was an addict. And then the irony of it was, my kids are normal, but they got the benefit from me learning about how to deal with actions, attitudes, and behaviors in a positive way. Because there were certain things that would come up, and I necessarily wouldn't have to jerk react to it. And so I just found that, you know, my recovery program, not only the focus on Narcotics Anonymous, but I gathered information and skill sets from multiple of things. And I just wanted to thank you, Norman, for assisting in that.
Thank you.
Hi,
I'm recovering addict. My name's Dee. And I'm also a inconsistent, but member of Narcotics Anonymous. And my story's not much different than what I've been hearing everybody share. Born and raised into a family of addicts. I married the age of 9, chair, married a lot, the PI chair, and then had kids. And I'm happy to say that many years ago, while I was married to that man, my sponsor, his sister, he started going to Al-Anon because it was the most available. Because he was not using drugs, but he was in his addiction. And at the time, I had, you know, over 10 years clean and thought I didn't need some of the 12-step program, you know, and he could help me with everything I needed. But I went both to Al-Anon and Narcan, though Narcan was very small in the county where I was at the time. And I was amazed at what I needed to learn. And I say today that, NA saved my life, and RNA saved my sanity. I'm happy to say that today I'm not married to that man anymore, and that our child has over 3 years clean. And that happened, you know, in part because of what I learned in RNA. So I have two things. One is a challenge to the addicts in this room, at the risk of flooding RNA. You know, I just challenge you guys to go to an Narcan group or pick out a piece of Narcan literature and see what it's about. Because you know what? We sit in meetings together all the time. We are affected every single day by behavior of addicts. And you know, that's something that's not us. And then I have a question, and I apologize if it came in late, so that you guys covered this, but it goes to the issue about treatment centers. Are all Narcan PI or PR committees, do you work with treatment centers these days? Because there's such a need there with the family groups where they're trying to introduce Narcan and, you know, it's not that much info. So that's my question.
There's a few groups and a few places who can make an effort. There's a lot of holes, a lot of places where the group is busy. But San Diego, there's two groups cooperating going out and doing the camp. The other groups aren't active yet. They haven't. The group itself hasn't yet to step 12. A lot of groups don't.
Robert said that on the region, the regional in our Southern California region and outreach stuff, one of the things that we're going to focus more on this coming year is reaching out and having kind of almost a, to help the groups or to help the areas or do it as a region to respond to treatment centers who are asking for a panel or, you know, meeting to be set up in there. Just have something ready to go. You know, call and, you know, send somebody out to look about that. Thank you.
Got time for one more quick and then we're ready.
Can I call Andrew?
Andrew.
Hey, thank you for coming and sharing some very informational. So, yeah, all right, so I'll just say it, but I don't know. So as soon as I got clean, I qualified for NARA because I really need help with my peers in NA and then in my family and so on and so forth. Much of it I could do with deal with the NA steps. My first got from even though it was a wealthy thing. So my parents basically said, you need to go out, call and come around, you know, to the hospital, you know, and things like that. They were exhausted. My computer evaporated in a lot of different bridges, emotional bridges, their feelings, financial, you know, all kinds of stuff. But so if I was calling a family member to get out of mine, because not online really isn't that fluent in southern Massachusetts. A couple of members about 2 years ago tried to get down on going to more.
4 meetings more.
Yeah, okay, thank you. But I'll definitely, you know, I'll face the challenge, but I can find value. I mean, I did go down on, because I was on my ASA. You know, I wanted to see, you know, I was very brave to see, but I wanted to see what how families were affected and what if I was missing anything in my writing, but how I really feel. And things like that. And was helpful. And I was right. So in that, I had exchanged a step working guide with people from the Alamon meeting. And they put it in, and I've had it a couple of times. Then I got revisited the group about 3 or 4 months later. They were on a third step, and they were basically quoting literature without even having it in their hand. And I had a step working guide, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous about the tentacles and how they, these wraps of tentacles around not only the individual, but the family members. One of the things spreads that way. Are you familiar with working that way?
So we, NARNON, we have, thank you for your question, we have our own step workbook now. NARNON, we're, like Al-Anon, we're based on the same principles as Al-Anon. It's very similar, except our loved one is a drug addict and their loved one is an alcoholic.
Yes.
But we used to use the Al-Anon steps and now we have our own step workbook. So that's why I wanted to say that our website is narnon.org. So you can find a lot of information there. You can look, search for Narnon meeting there. It's an easy thing to remember if you want to refer a family member or a friend. But if you fill to the height of those, narnon.org.
All righty. Let's thank our panel from Narnon.